My name is Loretta Miller, and as several people have mentioned to you earlier about the transplanting, I'm also one of those that's being transplanted. I'm currently living in Corvallis, Oregon, and I had notion to do that for you, Dolores, but I didn't. Dolores is over there from my Oregon rooting section. But I'm going to be moving to Fort Collins. Fort Collins this fall. And ministering on the campus at Colorado State University. So that's where I get a little of the red face. I was out visiting with the guys and girls there the other day, and we had a picnic, and I was out in the sun the whole time. So anyway, I'm Loretta. I was a little surprised when I came here today because I thought that we were going to have this little intimate workshop of maybe 10 or so, and that you could get to know one another, because I always appreciate doing that, but I think it might take a little more time, so you just work on getting to know one another, will you? The thing that I was asked to share on today was developing and deepening your prayer life. I was reading a quote by J. Oswald Sanders in his book on spiritual leadership, and he has a whole chapter in there on the leader and his prayer life. I'd like to read the quote to you. It says, "In nothing should the leader be ahead of his followers more than in the realm of prayer. And yet the most advanced Christian is conscious of the possibility of endless development in his prayer life, nor does he ever feel that he's already attained." And then J.L. Vaughan has said that, "If I wish to humble anyone, I should question him about his prayers, because I know nothing to compare with the topic of sorrowful self-confessions." I thought, you know, that's what I could do for you today, is I could stand up here and read quotes like this. You know, I'm pretty soon, or I could start questioning, how are you doing in this area? Are you doing in this area? You know, pretty soon you'd feel so discouraged and wiped out that you wouldn't know what to do. Marilyn Ganico, I was telling her, I was leading it on prayer, and she says, "Well, Loretta, all you have to do is get up there and say, pray more." And everybody's convicted. But the thing that the Lord has laid on my heart to share with you today is not to convict you or whatever. I think that most of you are here probably because you do want to develop in that area. I know that I'm always looking to Him to teach me more of that. But I would really like to just encourage you where you're at. I think that prayer should be a joy for us. I know it's work and it always will be work, but I think it should be a joy too. And it would be the desire of my heart if the Lord Jesus would just leave here today just being encouraged that you can develop and that you would want to go out and pray more. So what I'd like you to do, one other thing I might mention to you, I have a worksheet here. It's not a worksheet, it's just some things that I have put together that have been a real help to me in my own prayer life this year. And you might like to take one of these. It's some of the principles of prayer that I'm sure all of you are familiar with, the basic principles of prayer. Sometimes it just is helpful to go back over those and review them. So there's a sheet on that, and then just some other things that might be a personal help to you. But what I'd really like you to do, first of all, is I'd like you to write down, take a little piece of paper. Everybody has to do this. And then I'd like you to write down, what is it in your prayer life that you would like to see developed or just to be challenged with today? Or why did you pick this particular workshop? I know you had 30 seconds to do it earlier, but I'm sure something must have entered your mind. Or just to think about it for a minute, why am I here and what would I like to see God do? Because then I'd like to have a little personal time when we could really ask Him that He'll do that for you. Some of you look puzzled. That's always good, I think, at workshops to ask people that. You know, sometimes, why did you come to this conference? I'm sure most of you came here not because someone paid your coins and asked you to come, but that you have some personal needs in that. So why don't we take a few minutes now and you just ask the Lord Jesus Christ Himself if He would minister to you personally during this time and meet something of what you have written down there. And then I'll just close in prayer for us. Father, we do come into Your presence now and thank You for the privilege of being able to be here and to talk about the subject of prayer. And Lord, I'm very aware that unless You meet our needs, that we will go away unsatisfied. And we thank you that you've given us the Holy Spirit to teach us and instruct us in prayer. And Lord, I ask you with the others that you would just meet our personal need today, that you would, your Holy Spirit would just enlighten our hearts, and that you would encourage us and motivate us more in this particular area. And we thank you that you want to do that. Thank you for the way that we know you hear us right now. And we look to you that you will take this time and you'll glorify your own self in the name of Jesus Christ. So we do commit ourselves to you, and we ask you for the protection against the enemy. We claim the blood of Jesus Christ to protect us now. And we thank you and ask you these things in his name. Amen. Neat. Well, there are three things that I would like to talk with you as I was thinking about the area of prayer. First of all, of why do I need to deepen my own prayer life? I think it's always good. Why do I need to do that? Just to be remotivated on that. And then what keeps me from deepening that? What keeps me from deepening my own prayer life? And just some practical things. I'd like to share some practical things that have been a help to me this year. I've had, I feel like a very good year in praying in a lot of ways, but I've also had a lot of struggles in it. But some things have really been a help. And I just felt the other day when I was out walking, I was asking the Lord, now, Lord, what is it you want me to share? I was coming up with all these right workshop principles and all of that. And finally, the Lord tapped me on the shoulder and said, why don't you just be yourself, Loretta? That's what I want you to do today. So I'm just going to be myself and share my own prayer life with you. But first of all, and why I think we need to deepen our prayer life, is the most important thing is just for our fellowship and our intimacy with a living God. That has to be the greatest reason I think we need to pray. Andrew Murray, he happens to be one of my favorite authors, but he says that there's a holy and most glorious God who invites us to come to him, to hold converse with him, and to ask him such things as we need, and to experience what a blessing there is in fellowship with him. He has created us in his own image and has redeemed us by his Son, so that in converse with him we might find our highest glory and salvation. I think that that is where fellowship with God, that that's where our greatest joy is, just as we're praying and getting to know him. And our relationship with him, that's what it is, a relationship with God. And the only way that that can be developed is through the Word of God, but also in prayer. And, you know, God, I think he's so attentive to our cries, and he's always ready to hear us. But that relationship is never going to be developed if we kind of use it like a telephone, you know, this quick little conversation with God. But that intimacy, that takes time to develop, to really know God, takes much time with him. I have a friend in Corvallis, an older lady, who has been a tremendous help to me the last couple of years in praying. And one thing she's always telling me of, Loretta, you need me to just sit before the Lord Jesus. You know, learn to sit down and just worship him and know him. Be quiet before him and let him reveal himself to you. And the other day I was over there and she was talking, as she was praying with me, she was praying and thanking him for being such a lovable Lord. Afterwards I was asking her about the lovable Lord, and she says, well, George Mueller has said, if you don't know him as a lovable Lord, then you don't know him at all. That was just very encouraging for me to hear that. I think in my own life, too, that I'm finding out that praying is really just learning in John 15:5, you know, it's sharing my life with him. In Phillips, I like that translation so much. In that particular verse, it says, it's the man who shares my life and whose life I share who proves fruitful. You know, that prayer is just really a sharing of life. I share myself, everything about myself with the Lord, and he in turn begins to share and reveal himself to me. So the people that know God the best are the ones that spend the most time with him. So if you want to know him, you need to spend time with him. I think another reason why we need to deepen our prayer life is just because God wants us to be dependent upon him. That the scriptures are so clear in the fact that every Christian is commanded to pray. You know, we're to pray all the time about everything and about everybody. That's a pretty hard command, isn't it? But I think that's what he wants for us. He wants us to be dependent upon him. I have some verses I'd just like to have you look up. I know that most of you know them, but it'd be good to be reminded of them. I'll just call out some references and you look them up. Luke 18:1, 1 Thess 5:17, and 1 Timothy 2:1, and Philippians 4:6. Someone just look those up and then read them out. But Luke 18:1. This is just a reminder that the Lord has commanded us to do these things.
Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they have to pray and not to lose heart.
Yeah, always to pray and not to lose heart. What about 1 Thess 5:17? Most of you probably know that. RSV says pray constantly. Just that continual praying. 1 Thess 2:1. Or 1 Timothy 2:1, excuse me.
First of all, men, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all men.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of all men. That's rather a frightening thought. And Philippians 4:6.
Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God.
Mm-hmm. Good. Just over and over, those are only a few of the verses. But there's that continual need that we see in the scriptures to pray and to pray about everything. I think all those things, that they rub me the wrong way a lot of times. You know, I think, I don't want to pray about everything, and I can't pray about everything. And I just think, I can do some things by myself, God. And I think all that that shows is my independence. You know, just over and over how I want to be independent. I want to be able to do my own thing. I don't want to have to go to God about everything. But his desire, I think that's why he commanded us to do it. He wants us to be a dependent people and to look to him. And one of the things that I've been experiencing in my own life too is that as I do look to him and as I do pray and depend upon him, he is so good. He does things so much better than I ever could. I think he's always just waiting to answer our prayer, kind of Ephesians 3:20, far more abundantly than all we could ever ask or think or do. All of those things, that's his desire. One of the things I've also been learning about when I've been praying with some women in Corvallis is how these older ladies, how they, it's fun to pray with them because they are so helpless before the Lord. Have you ever sat in on some prayer meetings with older women and how, boy, they just ask God for everything and they are so helpless. I think that a sign of maturity in our prayer life is when we switch from this, I'm this independent that can do this or that, to just seeing more and more of our helplessness before the Lord. I think the Lord Jesus really lived that out in John 5:19 and verse 30 also, where he makes it very clear that, you know, I can do nothing on my own. You know, I have no authority on my own. He was always going to the Father. And as you read through Luke, you can see, have been challenged recently. Fred Wivido has been doing a Bible study on Jesus' prayer life. And the other day he was sharing some things with me as he had gone through Luke at different times when Jesus would always go off and pray. I thought the maturity that he had in his life too, in that walk with God, of how he wasn't afraid to leave the disciples to kind of take care of the thing, and he went off to pray. And I think the more that we grow in our leadership and leading other people, that we need to make sure that we're going off to pray also. Some of the verses in Luke 42, just some different things that Jesus prayed about was that he just prayed concerning the will of God, where he should go next. He had prayed, spent some time with God, and then he goes off to preach in another place. In Luke 6:12, before Jesus chose the disciples, you're all familiar with that, he spent a whole night praying. In Luke 9:18, too, this has been a real challenge to me, or a new thinking of how Now, Jesus had just finished feeding the 5,000. And what did he do? He went off and prayed. Now, often, you know, we kind of depend on God for the victory. You know, we depend on him and pray like crazy for the big meeting or whatever. But then as soon as it's over, we kind of go our merry way. Or we might say, hey, thanks, God. But the Lord Jesus went away and prayed for the protection of that victory, I think. And then in Luke 3:21 and 22, just while he was praying, he was anointed for service. Or in Luke 9:29, while he was praying, he was transfigured. So you see that all of his life, things were happening in Jesus' life as he was depending upon the Lord. Luke 4:42. That's also in Mark 1:35, the same thing. So first of all, we need to pray just to develop that intimacy and that relationship, that fellowship with God. And then we need to pray just because we need to be dependent children. And the third thing that is also becoming more and more aware to me in my own life is how we're involved in a spiritual battle. And would someone turn to 2 Corinthians 10:3-4? Also, if someone would read that.
For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses.
I think that the more that I'm sure as you're involved with helping people in the gospel, how you become more and more aware that we are in a spiritual battle. And it is spiritual, so we have to use the spiritual weapons. And the greatest weapon I'm finding is just our prayer. In Ephesians 6, we've been doing a Bible study in Ephesians and out on spiritual warfare. You know, it gives all the armor. And then in verse 16 or 18, it talks about praying, how we need to pray. Why don't someone turn to that also and read Ephesians 6:18?
Praying in the Spirit on every occasion, and speak with prayer and entreaty, constantly alert to pray with all perseverance and entreaty for all the saints.
Mm-hmm. Just always on the lookout to pray, that we need to be praying. That's a part of our spiritual armor, just as important as any of those other things, how we need to pray and use that weapon. One thing that it's important too, I think, when we're praying, is oftentimes, do you ever feel like you're struggling with God in prayer? You know, it's just a big struggle, I've got to pray. But we need to remember that it's not God we're struggling with, but it's the enemy. That he is, you know, he'll keep us from praying, and then when we start to pray, he's fighting it the whole time, and that our prayers need to be directed against him. And not it's not God that we're fighting. I've just been caught up a lot of times in that trap of trying to fight with God in prayer. The last thing those three things. I better back up and mention again the three things of why we need to deepen our prayer life. It's just for that fellowship with God. I'll say these over and over. Our dependence upon him and the fact that we're involved in spiritual warfare. Then the thing that keeps us from developing our prayer life or deepening in that prayer life is, I think it narrows down to two simple things. Either that we don't practice it and we also just forget to persevere in it. That praying is a training process. You know, we talk about training and training Bible study leaders to lead Bible studies, we train people in evangelism, and we train people how to use the Word of God. We train people in this thing and that thing, but praying is really a training process, and it needs much practice. The way that we're going to get training in it is to pray. There's no other way that you're going to learn how to pray than that way. And the fact of persevering in prayer, a lot of times I get to the point where I totally, you know, I just bomb out praying. I just am a failure in it. And then I just don't want to keep on. I think, oh, I'm such a failure, I'll never get back in praying. But how I need to have that, not to lose heart, to continually be persevering in that area. I think one of the things that you'll find out that the enemy will attack you the most, if you ever set out to, I'm going to develop my prayer life, if you ever done that, you know, I'm going to develop my prayer life, and right away the enemy comes in and wipes you out on it. That you always need to be on the alert when you're not praying, that the enemy is having, you know, a heyday there. But he's always trying to defeat you in that. And the ways that I find that he'll attack me in that is when I start to pray that I'll be tempted to either postpone it, I'll do it some other time, you know, when I get back from campus I'll do it, or just curtail it in some way. Or he'll bring in wandering thoughts. You know, you sit down and start praying, and then all these things that I have to do, or, you know, anything that will cause your thoughts to wander from him. And then also in just bringing thoughts of distrust or unbelief or just a hopelessness, that all those thoughts that will just cause you to stop praying. One of the things that a few years ago when I moved to Corvallis, well, it was a couple of years after I'd been there, I had heard about these two ladies that I had mentioned to you earlier that prayed a lot in Corvallis, and I thought they were known as the prayer warriors, and I should go over and get to know them because they'll pray for me. And in my mind, I've always wanted to learn how to pray more. So I go on this little thing. I'm going to go over and talk to those ladies and find out what it is that they do, and they can give me all the principles of praying. And then I'll become a better prayer. So that was my big objective. I go over and have tea with them one afternoon. One lady had been on the mission field for about 40 years in China. She's now home with the Lord, but she was really a prayer. And her sister is also. She was just, they're much involved around the world in praying. So I was sitting down. I will never forget this as long as I live. I was sitting down having a cup of tea with them. And I said, you know, I really want to develop my prayer life, Mrs. Stahl. And I've heard that you pray a lot. Now, could you give me some points on really how can I develop in that? So I was all ready to take these big mental notes, you know, of what I was going to do. She sat back in her chair, kind of folded her arms like this. And she just gave me this big smile. And she said, Loretta, the only way you're ever going to learn to pray is to pray. You know, the big secret was the only way I'm ever going to learn to pray is to pray. And that's why I was talking about the practicing it. That's why I felt very qualified even in standing up here and talking to you about prayer, because I know from my own life's experience and others that the only way you're going to learn to pray is to pray, and to start where you're at and just to keep at it. So I went home a little deflated in a lot of ways, because I thought I was doing pretty good in my prayer life, but God used that to... You keep praying, Loretta Miller, and I will teach you. And then a couple years after that, she was talking some more about prayer. I would go over and try to pray with her, you know, just be around her. And I asked her, she was talking about praying in spiritual warfare, some of that stuff, and being a prayer warrior. And I said, when you talk about that, it's different than I know, you know, what I'm used to. And would you teach me some about that? And she kind of lights up again. And she says, well, sure, you know, I'll teach you something. So she hands me two books to read. One book was called Satan, a Defeated Foe. It's just about knowing who my enemy is. And the other was one on our authority as a believer, that I need to understand my authority. And then she handed me these books, and she says, now, what you need to do is to go home and start praying, and I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit will teach you how to pray. You know, that goes back to the same thing of wanting all these neat little secrets, but I have to pray, and then the Holy Spirit, as I'm praying, He's going to teach me how to pray. So that's from some prayer warriors. I know that's the best secret that I could give you this afternoon on that. One of the things that I had just wanted to share with you a little on the struggle that we have in prayer and why we need to persevere, too, is... This year, as I mentioned, that I was really encouraged with what I saw God doing in answer to prayer. In the early part of this year, I was looking over my prayer notebook, and I was so excited about what had happened. You know, I could just see just answer after answer in the lives of the girls and in my own personal life and my needs and just wild things that I had prayed God was answering. And the problem I had was I began to be proud in that. You know, I thought, oh boy, maybe I do know something about praying. You know, and the enemy was looking for something, I think, in my prayer life. So he comes in very subtly and says, boy, you might know how to pray, Loretta. You really are. And just that pride that came into my heart. And it was there for a while. And as you all know, with pride comes a fall. I took a very deep fall in my prayer life after that. And this might sound very funny to you, but I think that I just want to encourage you always to be alert for it and to keep persevering, because what I saw happen, I saw God do so many things that I thought, this is such a powerful thing that maybe I better back off, because maybe I'm not applying all the principles, and maybe, you know, and all of a sudden I became so afraid of praying, you know, that I might be getting people out of the will of God and I might be doing this and that. Just a lot of unbelief. And it just flooded my heart, and because I'm not going to pray anymore. And, you know, I think he knew what my weakness was, and he came in and he did it, and I wasn't alert to it. So I just challenge you just to be alert when you find yourself backing off from prayer, then start practicing it and keep persevering in it. I appreciated when Maureen Downey was up here sharing about, we have so many how-tos, you know, how to this and how to that, and I've often been caught up with all of the how-tos also, but this year the Lord had just, at the beginning of the school year, had reminded me of the ACTS, what we're all familiar with, you know, the adoration, confession, and thanksgiving, and supplication. And it just put in my heart and my mind to start developing a prayer notebook from that. And I would challenge you to do it. It's really fun. And also, I think that's the way that we can deepen our prayer life, taking those simple things that we've heard from day one almost, or day two it was for me, on how to pray, and developing it. So I'd just like to share a few of the things that were really have been helpful this year in developing in that prayer notebook. But the first thing of just adoration. And I'm sure that most of you are becoming aware of, or you are aware of, that our prayer life is directly proportioned to our concept of God. It's very hard to go into the presence of God and ask Him for something if you don't believe that He's that kind of a God. Like, it's hard to ask Him for good things if you don't believe He's a good God. It's hard to ask Him for victories, you know, strongholds that He has on the campus or the community where you're working, if you don't really believe that He's a victorious Lord. And just, it goes on and on and on. So I think it's important for us to always be developing our concept of God and who He is, and to spend that time in adoration. Just when I go into His presence, like in Psalm 104, I think David had so much scoped out on praising God. But you know how we're to enter His gates and with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. That when we go into the presence of God day by day, that's how we need to enter, just filled with praise and thanksgiving. One thing that is probably apparent to you is when you have a problem too. You might have experienced this in your prayer life. When you have a problem, you go in to start praying and you talk to God about this big problem you have, and then you get up and you still have this big problem. You know, like, oh, what's the secret in that? I think that we need to go back and go into His presence and know who He is. As I know who He is, then I can leave my problem with Him, and I can go away encouraged that He's going to do something about it. Another thing, I think in that praising God, in Psalm 63:1, I was challenged a few years ago with where David says, "Oh God, Thou art my God." And how often we need to keep that balance, and how we daily need to keep that balance, that He is God, you know, His justice, and He's a holy God, and He's an eternal God, that He's, you know, the Almighty One, that He's a victorious One. All of those, you know, the greatness of God needs to be very much in our mind. But, oh God, Thou art my God, that in the same way that we need to daily know that we're His redeemed children, that He knows everything about us, and that He loves us dearly, that He has that special purpose for us. He just delights in us. But keeping that balance, because I can often get off if I'm not balancing my concept of God and my praising of God, I can get so carried away and so fearful because he's so just and holy, and it's hard to really get that down where I can live. Or I can get way over here and, oh, he loves me, I can do whatever. But there needs to be a balance in our life. And I think that David really understood that as you read some of his Psalms. What I'd like you to do is to write down now just a problem or something that you've been struggling with currently. You know, if you don't have any struggles, and think of some of your girls that you're working with. I'm sure that somewhere along the line today, we can find something that might trouble your heart. Have you got something? Now what I'd like you to do is, maybe we could just have an open time of sharing. Let's share some of the characteristics of God. Just be reminded of who God is. Maybe some verses that you've been challenged with lately or have been encouraging. Think, who is God?
Well, I think 1 Chronicles 29, 11, 12 are my favorite verses. Thine, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all those in the heaven and the earth is thine. Thy kingdom, O Lord, thou reignest over all, and thy hand is proud of mine. And in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. And to think through those verses without allowing myself to limit him. But when you mention my problem, that's my problem. That's what Satan uses. He'll come in with a little dainty but. Mm-hmm. And I say, but God. Mm-hmm. And then I start to limit him.
Mm-hmm. So I need to get back on the truth of those things instead of the problem. That's an excellent verse, Julie. I just think that is excellent to think, who is God? What are some other verses that just remind you of who God is?
Matthew 5, 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. That God wants to change us, satisfy us and lead us.
That's good. Thou art my God. That's very good.
I think a lot of times we try and compare God to things that are around us and limited to a little time and space. And so, no, we can't do that because there's nothing that we have to compare God to.
Mm-hmm. That's a super good verse. I should be writing these down.
Jeremiah 29:11-13. I discovered this when I was discovering the motivation prayer. In 12 and 13, he promises that you call upon me and come and pray to me, then I'll listen to you. And you will seek me, you'll find me, you'll search me without your heart. And I always thought of that in there as a prayer. And I know 11, but I never connect the two together. And the thing that I saw was Jeremiah's motivation in verse 11 was that he believed and trusted God for his future and in God's thoughts and intents toward him. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that really comes to my heart. I can call him the victorious, the just, the holy, the righteous God, but the loving God I have a little problem with. And that just really gave me a promise that I can hang on to.
That's excellent. I can really relate to that, that I can get so carried away with all of this that I forget that loving God. That's good. It's been helpful for me to work on coming into his presence, just knowing how accepted I am in the Beloved. You want to know?
Lamentations 3:37-38 says, who is commanded, and it came to pass, unless the Lord ordained it, is it not from the mouth of the Most High that both good and evil come? Is that idea of the sovereignty of God?
That's good. Very good. Any other verses that you have on that? Have you been praising God lately?
I like to think of Psalm 18:1, especially in a lot of the Glen. I love thee, O Lord, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge. And just, you know, as I look at these rocks, just thinking about a stronghold and how powerful he is. Mm-hmm.
I'd really encourage you that you would, there is real power in praise. I think the more that we work on coming into His presence and praising Him, as you look at your problem now, whatever, just some of those verses, do you think that God could handle those things? I think that what we need to do is, if you get, this is what I find helpful, is when I get carried away with my problem again, that I need, that's the only sign I need to go back and praise some more and just work on praising Him. Ruth Meyer, she has some excellent Bible study, or a little paper on praise. I have one sheet of it here in the in this little worksheet for you, but it's still helpful for me every day to just work on going through and praising God, you know, using that particular sheet. It somehow life becomes a little more in perspective, and I can live a little more enjoyable life as I recognize who God is and keep at that, just continually keep at it. I'm praying for myself that God will give me a mantle of praise. In Psalm 61, it talks about that. I think that's what we need, you know, to live life, is that mantle of praise. But again, anything in your particular notebook that you might be able just to develop your own praise and adoration of who God is. You know, adoration or praise is just bragging about the Lord. And I just, my heart, every day I just love to go and brag about my God. You know, the simplicity of it.
Loretta, I wanted to share just one more little thought that's helped me. It was interesting. I took it as sort of a reconstructive thing that God did in my heart on this thing of let, when I limit God, because I was reading out of the Brooklyn translation. I memorized this other verse out of King James. And in the same chapter that Marilyn was talking about, verse 30, it says, starts out with but. It says, but God, exclamation mark. Perfect is His way. The word of the Lord is proven. A shield is He to all who put their trust in Him. And I thought, well, isn't that interesting? Even if there are any buts, you know, He is, His way is perfect.
Huh. So yeah, that's
still
good.
Praising me, even if there are buts.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's excellent, Julie. Boy, feel free if any of you have any words along the line of adoration, confession, thanksgiving, or supplication. Share that. Does anyone else have anything that has been helpful in praising God? Oops, there's a...
I'm sure most of you have seen that Ruth Meyer sheet, 60 characteristics of God, but that's really helpful too.
That's been very helpful to me. And I typed up, and I have one sheet in here of just some writing out those verses. Sometimes I get so lazy I don't want to look up all the verses, but having before me every day some of those that mean the most to me and just reading them, you know, right before my eyes, it's an instant type thing, but I'm really working on that. That's good. I don't think you can go wrong with some of Ruth Meyers' Bible studies on the character of God and praising Him. In the area of confession, I didn't want to spend very much time on that, but I think that two things that I'm very aware of in the area of confession is that the world today is telling us, you know, nothing is wrong. I remember a few years ago on the campus, I used to have, it was the big deal to share with girls was about forgiveness. You know, you're forgiven and you're forgiven. But what I'm finding anymore is the more I talk with people is there's no sin. You know, that sin is somehow it's okay. So I think we need to be alert to sin in our life and calling sin, sin, and dealing with it in that way. But also another thing that I've been finding out is that God needs to search my heart. What Marina was sharing earlier, I've been caught in the trap of this, you know, this soul-searching depth of sin, trying to find out what's wrong with Loretta Miller, and just it's endless, you know, because the deeper I look, all I find is my depravity. So I need to just let up, like in Psalm 139, just you search me, O God, and know my heart and see if there's any wicked way in me. But you do that. I'm not going to do it. That's the Holy Spirit's job. So I'd like to encourage you in that if you ever get caught in that. In the whole area of thanksgiving, I think one of the saddest portions in Scripture that I know of is in Luke 17, 11 through 18. Where Jesus heals the 10 people with leprosy, and only one of them comes back and says thanks. And I think that's the way we are. You know, we are a very thankless people, and we need to work just daily on giving God thanks. I think one of the things that you'll find in your prayer life, too, that will encourage you to pray, that will give you more faith, is if you just take time to meditate on what God has done, you know, in your life, answers to prayer, because that causes you to be able to approach Him with a new boldness. Earlier this fall also, I was meditating on Psalm 34:10, where it says, you know, the young lion suffers want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. I was thinking, well, if that's true, Lord, then what about all these desires I have, you know, and how do I live with that? So I said, well, He wants me to ask Him. So I made this big list of everything I had wanted, you know, which were physical needs, but also just things in the ministry, just desires that I had. And I put a sheet in this worksheet also where you can write down those desires that you have for your life, for your family, you know, wild things that you would just like to see God do. But I started just every day praying over those things. Say, you know, God, I'd really like to have this, but I praise You today that if it's a good thing for me, that You'll give it. And if it's not, I thank You that You won't. And just daily doing, getting in the habit of asking, but also praising Him and thanking Him that no good thing will He withhold from me. Boy, it changed my prayer life. And you know what I saw happen is just week after week, I saw God giving those things, God doing those things. And then I kept that in my notebook, and I'd go back and just every day thanking Him again. Thank You for, you know, thank You for that coat, and thank You for that pair of pants, and thank You for that girl coming to Christ. And it just built a confidence and a faith. But it developed that thankful heart also that we need. I have a little, one of the privileges I have is being an aunt. I love being an aunt. I had two little nieces when I was back in Iowa that taught me a lot about praying. But Aunt Loretta was going to teach them about praying one day. So we were in the car and I said, well, let's spend some time just praying and thanking Jesus. So we were driving along and all of a sudden their hearts were just so full of thanksgiving. Thank You, Jesus, for the sign, and thank You for the grass, and thank You for Grandma, and thank You for the car. And you know, as they were doing all of that, God was using that so much in my life. I think that's how I want you to thank me, Loretta. I think that we need to, just as we're walking around and living life, that our hearts need to be more and more filled with thank You, Lord, for this, the simplicity of it. Children are good people to learn to pray from, I think. In the whole area of supplication, do you know that whatever else we may not be fitted for to accomplish, that we can pray, we can ask God for things, and that His supreme need, the supreme need of the church today, can be met by the weakest Christian. You know, that gives me encouragement that I can be used of God. But I think the greatest problem we have is in James 4:2, that we have not because we ask not. That God wants to do so much for us, but we just don't ask Him. And also, I think just again from learning from children, that you know, two of the things that it seems like to me parents work on teaching their children the most is, first of all, to ask for something and not take it. You know, just how much they delight in giving to their children. But it's really upsetting to them when they're always grabbing and taking things. So they spend a lot of time training their children to ask for that. And also just how much time they spend training children to say thank you. We're no different. You know, our Heavenly Father wants us to learn to ask, and He wants to give us, and then we need to thank Him. I think David, this is a rather frightening passage to me in some ways, but it also brings out that point in 2 Samuel 12:8. Would someone like to read that? This is just after David had sinned with Bathsheba, and God had sent Nathan to talk with him about some of that.
Thank you.
that, you know, I've given you this and I've given you this, and if that's too little, I would have given you something else. But instead, David went out and decided to take it for himself. I think that we can do so much of that. Just, you know, God wants to give. God is a willing God. God wants to add to our life. And that we need to learn not to take, but to ask Him. Some of the things in supplication or praying that have also been of help is to take some basic principles that you know from the Word of God and to go out and walk or sit wherever you like to pray and begin praying those things. This changes my prayer life. I like to walk and pray. So I began to, a couple years ago, I was on the campus I saw things happening on our campus. I thought, something is missing, God. Just that spirit of yourself needs to be on here. And girls, you know, I know that your word says that you want girls to come to Christ. And I know that you want to do a mighty work here. And I also know that your word says that you want to use me. So I thought, why is this not happening? So I made a little commitment to the Lord. I'm going to take the truth, these principles. I'm going to go out and start walking around our campus every day. And I want, you know, I just want to ask you, and you do this work. So for a month, I was just walking around the campus doing that. Just, again, taking the basic principles I know from the Word and what He wants to do. And I would pray, and I remember about the last day of the month, I came bombing into our house. My roommate was there, and I said, Judy, God is going to do something on this campus, and He's going to use me. I was so excited because the first few days of praying, it was like, God, can you do anything on this campus? And I know you want to, but are you really going to? I think the more that I kept asking Him, that He began giving me that faith to believe that He was. So I think it goes back to that persevering. Take the principles that you know from the Word of God and persevere. Just keep asking God. I think that one thing that He will do is He'll lead you in the way He wants you to ask Him. You know, the more that, have you experienced that too? The more you pray, how God brings ideas, God brings the outworking of that a lot of times. When I was, last year when I was walking around the campus praying, I'd look at that dorm and say, Lord, now I know that you want to lead girls to Christ there. Now, how do you want to do it, or what do you want to do? And as I was praying, I thought, boy, Lord, it would be so good if just every week we'd see someone coming to know you. Now, that was not my thought. It was just kind of a desire that I had. So I keep walking around and think, God, do that. Just every week I pray that there will be girls that will come to know you. And as I look back over our ministry, it just every week there were girls coming to know Jesus Christ. There were some weeks that they were, at the beginning of the thing, they weren't. But as a general rule, just every week I saw that happening. So this year I go out, okay, God, every week there will be girls coming to know you, right? So I start praying that. The freedom of the Holy Spirit was not there to ask Him anymore. But the principle was the same. He still wants to draw girls to Himself. And then He wanted to use me, and He wanted to use our girls. But the thing is, well, what is it you want to do then? You know, what is it? How do you want to do that this year? And as I was praying, I was just thinking of the joy that it was for me when I led the first girl to Christ. And I began to imagine just each of our girls, the girls that are disciples, just what a joy it would be for them, you know, to have that privilege. But I thought, boy, Lord, that's a desire of my heart that each one of them could do that. And if they're disciples, you want them to be fruitful. You know, your word says that. Just start asking Him. And it's been fun this year to see that's what's been happening. You know, every time I hear of a new Christian, some other girl has led her to Christ. Where in the years before, it's always been, you know, maybe our evangelist is doing it, one girl getting all of them. But this year, I think the Lord wanted, you know, to develop each one of the girls and their skills in that. And the reason I'm sharing that is that God will lead you in how to ask. You take the principle, and He will, as you continually persevere in that, He will lead you. And He causes the things that we continually see with people, how we need to pray about those things too. Like, I was around a lot of sorority girls for a while, and I would go home each time just troubled because I thought, what a fake life some of them are living, you know, not just having the freedom to be who they are. And just, I would talk to a different girl in the union or whatever, and just seeing that over and over, and finally I thought, Lord, give us a ministry with sorority girls, would you? You know, that they could be freed from this bondage that they're experiencing in that. And I prayed for, you know, a while, and pretty soon a girl calls up and said, hey, Loretta, I heard you're with the Navigators, and would you start a Bible study in our sorority? Okay, Lord, do that. But that happened in the PE department. Just, I would be around girls in the PE department, just the immorality in that that I would see. And it troubled me, you know. I think that we need to look at those fortresses where the enemy has a hold of. That it's a spiritual battle. And where you see a fortress and the Lord is bringing that to mind, then pray for it. And God will use you. This happened with the PE department. And I was just, last year I was laughing. Sometimes, you know, you just get caught up in the dailiness of praying and living and ministering that you don't look back over and see what God has done. But on our campus, I saw that God had given us a ministry in each one of the different areas, I guess it is, of the PE. Like there were track girls that we'd influence, the softball girls, the basketball girls. But there was just one or two out of each one of those particular sports that God had used us. But he just brought that idea to mind. I mean, it was a need, and I prayed about it, so he did it. I think, do it. Find out those fortresses. Another, I just like to share these things because I think they'll challenge you. They challenge me the more I see God is so willing, whatever the area, just to move in and start praying. Don't try to figure out all the principles. Just go do it. You know, just go pray. But that was happening in, as I was looking over my family, the same thing. I was checking out with my family. I said, hey, Mom, are there any people that are kind of religious in our family? I was trying to find some Christians because all I could see was I was the only Christian that I knew of in my dad's side and my mom's side. We had a pretty large family. No one, you know, I couldn't find anyone. So I thought, well, what the enemy has in our family is a stronghold. You know, he has a stronghold. And it's just generation after generation it's happened. So a couple years ago, I thought, Lord, break that stronghold. You know, let my generation be the generation that changes the tide so that other people won't have, you know, my children or my nieces and nephews and on down the line, that they won't have to go through some of this stuff, but they will have that rich heritage that so many people I see around have. So I started praying, and I prayed quite a while, and nothing happened. And then this year, that tremendous burden came back again. You know, what about your relatives, Loretta? Started praying, and over Christmas, then the Lord had just brought to my mind, why don't you send a letter to your relatives telling them who you are and what you're doing? Most of them, I have relatives I don't even know about. But why don't you send him a letter and share the gospel? So I did that and just prayed, you know, and I saw no results for a while. But when I was home, my mom, she was telling me about, she said, now, you have a cousin that works out that headquarters of yours at Glen Eyrie. She must be someone that just went to a conference there or whatever, my relative. But, so I decided, well, I'll check into it when we would come to the Glen in March. So when I was here, just about the first day, a second cousin of mine, who's Beth and Gary over there, she wrote a note at my door, hi, I'm your cousin. And we wanted to get together. So when I started talking with her, she said, well, I became a Christian about 2 years ago. And, you know, my husband, he became a Christian. And just to see how God had called him into the Navigator ministry then, I was just overwhelmed, and it gave me so much more confidence to, okay, God, there's fortresses. Now I'm going to, by prayer, I want to see you use me. And it's been fun because that happened. But then also in Corvallis, I had a cousin come down a couple weeks ago who's going to be going to school there. I've never met him also. But he came, and he was checking, trying to find out where I was at. And I wasn't at home at the time, but one of the girls on campus then started sharing with me how I said, I think that he might be a Christian. She had gone to school with him or whatever. So just seeing throughout my family, you know, that's so dear to me, that God is beginning, you know, to tear down that stronghold of the enemy. I think one of the other things of just as you read in the papers, you know, we need to be, according to these scriptures, we need to be praying for the world and we need to be praying for world leaders. And one thing that I found challenging is to take some man. I think keep your prayer life simple until you can, you know, don't live under the big guilt trip of I should be praying or what all of this big, wide, wonderful world. But take just a few people and really begin to pray for them. And I saw that about Idi Amin down in Africa. I thought, boy, what a stronghold the enemy has there. So starting to pray for him, you know, and someday I think he'll probably come to know Jesus Christ. But it's like I'm just so much more aware now when I hear things about him because I'm praying for him. We're praying for Jimmy Carter. I cut out a picture of Jimmy Carter in light of 1 Timothy 2:2 that I need to be praying for Jimmy Carter. And just putting him in his picture before me every day helps me. You know, I think pictures or whatever you can do that will just help you to become that kind of a prayer. And then as he's traveling, as I hear about it, traveling here and there around the world, just using him as a light, you know, he is a Christian, that Jesus Christ will be making himself known around the world through his life. But take something like that. God will give you a desire, you know, and just pursue it and pray, and then you'll be so encouraged with what God will do. Another thing of just a stronghold that the enemy has in our own lives that we need to be praying about those. In my character, you know, I know the strongholds that the enemy has had for years and years. One of them is in fear. You know, just being a fearful person, and this, he just has me in bondage in that particular area a lot. So I just started to pray, God, you set me free from this bondage that he has me in. You know, it's taking time and work, but I know that he's doing that. I think in your character you'll see that, or you'll see that in the girls that you're ministering to, that you see the enemy has them, you know, this particular little bondage, and you can go around nagging at them, or you can take them before the throne of grace and ask for, you know, God to set them free. I think that's been a help to me also to realize that I'm not, when I'm before the throne of grace with the girls, that I'm not to be their accuser. You know, they have one accuser and he is plenty. He's all they need, and I need to be their sister in Christ, not bringing out their negative or whatever, but asking God to set him free from those bondages. It changes me, you know, the way I pray for them. And also the way that I approach him in talking with him about areas. Another thing of just praying for laborers. You know, sometimes we forget that we're to pray for laborers, that God will send laborers in the harvest. We think we have to do it all, but God commands us to pray for them. You know, that he will send forth laborers. And it's been an encouragement to me of making a list of everyone that I've spent time with in the past. You know, the older I get, the list gets a little longer. One day, I thought, Lord, if that's what you want, I know you want to use my life, and I know you want to multiply my life many times over, and you have called me to, you know, to raise up laborers, to be involved in sending forth laborers. I made this big list of all the girls that I've ever been involved with, that I'd spent some, you know, extended time with. And I started praying and believing that God is going to do that. You know, he'll use me to minister to them and challenge them and use my life for a while, but then he'll move them on to someone else. But I want to see, you know, in 10 or 15 years, that list of girls off into the world. And it's just encouraging the more that I pray and the more that I claim the verses that God has given me. You know, in my notebook, by all those names, I also have the verses that he's given me. Oh, there's Deanie. just that God is going to do that. That he's going to send them into the world and going back to his word and the principles of what he said in his word. And one fun thing with my family again, that I thought, I know you want to use my family to reach the world. So I have quite a few little nieces and nephews. And the Lord had brought to my mind a while back to make start praying that they will go into the world. You know, that He's going to use the Miller family to reach this world too. It's not only going to be the people that I minister to on campus, but that He's going to use my family. So I started praying for them that they'll come to know. Some of them are one and two. But I think I'm going to be someone that's going to start praying for them now, because I would hear this. What stimulated that in my mind is I would go around and I would hear of different people, missionaries standing up and saying, well, my mom and dad, or when I was really young, you know, something began to stir in my heart to go in the mission field. And I thought, I want my nieces and nephews to be that way. So I started praying for them. And then as I was doing that one day, the Lord had brought to my mind, ask for a country. So I have them going around the different continents, you know, right now. But it's fun because I have the freedom to do that in the Lord, you know. And He just encourages me. You know, I keep doing that, Loretta. Then when I send them birthday cards or whatever, put that particular country, I try to send them something from that country. And you laugh, and we're in heaven. My relatives are going to be reaching the world. But it's fun, you know. That makes praying fun for me, because God is always giving me new and creative ideas, but they're based on His Word and what He's already said, and also those strongholds that I see. Whenever I see a stronghold, I start praying for it. I'm learning to do that. That's one thing that Mrs. Stahl has really taught me about, praying for those strongholds. One of the fun things I think that we need to remember, that God just cares about the dailiness, our supplication of our daily needs too. A while back, at the beginning of this quarter, in our apartment, I saw that we had some particular needs. One of them was that we just needed to have some fun together. You know, we needed to be doing some fun things together. I also saw that, I thought, Lord, we really need to work on our appearance. I'll just be honest with you here. You know, and also, but just that thing together, I thought, Lord, I'm not too good at all that. You know, I'm rotten, as a matter of fact. But, you know, it's a need. And I would just like, you know, whatever you want to do, would you meet that need? Begin to meet that need. So I was praying, and then one day, Fred Wevedo, the NAV rep there, he handed me this brochure and said, hey, you might be interested in this little course. And it was a course called Image of Loveliness. So he had just heard some things in our church, what a good deal it was. So I thought, okay, I'll call. Maybe the Lord is leading in that, and that's what He wants. So called, and it was such a good deal. You know, it sounded like, oh, it was going to be an 8-week course, and it would be a fun thing for us to do. So I, what I said then was to, I found out some facts, and I talked to Carla and Kathy about it, and, you know, they were for it pretty much, but we had one problem, and that was our finances. We had just taken a trip to the Glen, and, you know, when you live in Oregon, all that's very spendy. So I was concerned about the finances, and then they would be quitting their job for the summer. So I began to ask the Lord, Lord, could you just provide for the finances for each of us in a special way? So when I called back to find out a little more about this course, the instructor who happens to go to our church, he said, now before you say anything, Loretta, I want you to know something. So I've been praying about this, and I think I really want to give you this course if you want to take it. Okay, one down and two to go. Then Carla, she came home a short time after that and said, you will never believe this, but I got a raise today. And raises weren't the normal thing for that particular time of the year. Then Kathy, she had prayed that God would just, and their next check, that there would be a little more there. I don't know how her whole financial system works down there, but anyway, she has a wild job. But anyway, the next month she had $50, which was the amount of the course. It was $50 extra. So I just saw, you know, God took us at our point of need, and He just carried it far more abundantly. And it's just very, very much fun for us. Another thing that we had wanted in our apartment, I prayed last year that God might give us a blender. It's just like, I like blenders. You know, I thought they'd be kind of fun to have. And when I was home, this kind of reminds me of David. When I was home, I'd been praying about it. So I was home over the summer, and I said, hey, Mom, are you using your blender? And, you know, Loretta trying to get her own. And she says, yeah, talk that idea. But then I hadn't asked the Lord for it anymore, but Carla and Kathy had been, I don't know what they were talking about, a blender or whatever, and just thinking what a neat thing it would be to have. One day I came home from campus then, and sitting in our door was this nice little package. And I thought, oh, someone's having a wedding, and we need to take this and give it to someone, and whatever. So I brought this package in. We left it there for the evening, and I thought, well, Carl and Kath, they probably know whose it is and what we need to do with it. And they came home, well, I don't know whose it is. You know, I don't know what it is. And we left it there for a while, and I thought, well, maybe. Maybe this is ours. So we decided to open it up. And here was this beautiful blender. You know, someone had just given, said, God is always at work, you know, doing these special things, because they were as delighted. And Kathy was so funny. She says, I bet so-and-so gave it to us. She went over, because I talked to her about it the other day. She went over and talked to this girl and said, did you give us the blender? And she said, no. I was so glad that the girl didn't give it to me. Because it just, God knew that. God knew that it was a desire of our hearts, and God gave it. God doesn't need us to go around telling the world our needs, but He will lay it on people's heart. So those are just, I share those things because I just want to motivate you to pray for all your needs, and that no matter what it is, if it's a stronghold of the enemy, if it's a desire of your heart, what God wants you to do is to tell Him about it. And the best thing that you could do today would be to start telling Him all of those things. And I know that you're doing that, but I just want to encourage you all the more to keep doing it. What I'd like you to do is to take out a piece of paper now and just begin to write down some of those things. Maybe something I shared today. A lot of times I find this happen. Well, someone will say something and it will stimulate me to think, oh yeah, I'd like to pray for that. Or maybe I should, yeah, that's true in my family, or I really have this particular need. And to begin right now by writing that down. Then I'm going to give you a little time just to begin to ask God for that and to reflect back on some of those things about the character of God that we talked about. Is God able? Is God able to do that? And just be able to thank Him and think, yes, God, you can do this. You know, that's the kind of God you are, that you can do it. Some of the, I have this on this worksheet, but it might be helpful just in categorizing some of that stuff. Write down some personal needs that you have. Maybe something in your family that has been a concern to you. Or your personal character needs, some of the people that you're working. No, write, have one section of just your own character need. That's good to see God begin to do that. Then what about your reaching the world? Maybe just your campus or your personal ministry, wherever that is. Some desires that you have along that line. And I just want to give you some time now just to share freely with the Lord some of those desires. Because I think you'll learn to pray and you'll deepen your prayer life if you start right now. Making a list of those things and asking Him for them and thanking him that He is able to do it. And if it's a good thing today, He'll give it. And if He waits, it's not because He said no. It's probably because I want to give you that, but I want to give you it far more abundantly than all you could ever ask or think of. So I'm going to just let you write for a while, and then I'll close in a bit.